Let's talk about your investment strategy. Okay, bear with me, and please don't turn your brains off. I'm not here to talk about portfolios or stocks or anything like that. Just trust me, you wouldn't want me to. Instead, I'm here to talk about moments. How do you invest your moments? Because whether you were aware of it or not, every moment is an investment. Because right now, you're in church. That's an investment. A little later on, you're going to use one of your skills for some task. That's an investment. And at some point, you're going to willingly decrease the number in your bank account, your wallet, or your piggy bank. All these things, they're investments. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? Even the breath that we breathe, every time we pull air in and release air out, we are investing a moment to guarantee us just one more moment. So the question remains, what is your investment strategy? How do you spend your moments? Well, to answer that question, we first need to look back at how we've spent our moments. If you go far enough back to our first moments, even though times have changed, styles have changed, and it's possible that baby-rearing techniques have improved a little bit, I don't know. All of our first moments were pretty much the same. It involved some crying and some whining, maybe some smiling, some crawling. But each of those moments were spent for the same purpose, right? They were spent for growth. And as time went on and our moments diverged a little bit, still the growing process continued. We went from babbling to talking, from crawling to walking. And before you know it, school shows up. And that's when the growing turns into spending moments for learning. You spend your moments to mature and improve in your skills and take those young, malleable minds and push them further than they've ever been pushed before. Some of you might find yourself in that moment right now. Others of us have a few more chapters after that school learning moment, right? We have a whole chapter book full of moments that all lead us to this moment. And so we have to ask ourselves, what's the purpose? What's the investment strategy? What do we do with our moments? Well, if you look back at your past moments and you look at your present moments and you look forward to your future moments, you'll see that no matter how you spend your moments, Jesus says that we live in a time and a culture that has a huge impact on how we spend our moments. And Jesus looks at our culture, especially in our gospel reading this morning, and calls it shrewd. Let me explain. Even us who are here in church this morning, each of our moments from the moment that we were conceived have been destined to feed what I'll call the progress machine. You learned how to babble and to crawl, so that you might learn how to talk and walk, so that you might learn how to read and write, so that you might learn the arts and the sciences, history and math. And all those things were done, all those moments were spent so that you might be of some benefit to society, that you might make a name for yourself, that you might realize what the progress machine promises, that you can get everything that you ever want if you just put in the time, if you just use your talents, if you just pay the price. And so now we're here in this moment with chapters to our names filled with moments, moments where we learned how to play the game, moments where we learned what it took, what it took to get the grades, what it took to hoist the trophy and win the victory, what it took to get the promotion and acquire the money. In other words, we learned how to be shrewd. And the world has taught us well. We've learned how to use the resources that we have and put in the energy and the zeal and willing to scratch and claw and maybe even stand on somebody else's shoulders to get what we want. And yet behind all this encouragement from the progress machine, there lurks in the shadows a forbidden question, one that the progress machine doesn't want voiced. What's the point? Because, yeah, we've learned how to play the game. We've learned that if you want something, we're going to have to put the time in to get it. We've learned that if you want something, you're going to have to discipline yourself and maybe do a little bit of practice. And that to get what we want, we're going to have to pay some of our resources. And yet, when we finally get our heart's desire, when we finally reach our goal, how often don't we find the thing that we have so preoccupied our lives with to be empty? Or in Solomon's words, meaningless. But that's when the little voice of the progress machine pipes back up and says, "You're not looking in the right place. You're not trying hard enough. You have to keep going. You have to keep spending your moments to manufacture for yourself some meaning, some self-realization, and then you'll achieve your goal. Then you'll be content." But there's another voice that comes to us this morning, one that calls not from this world or its progress machine, but from our gospel reading. It's a new voice and a different voice, a voice that tells us that we've been spending our moments in all the wrong ways, in all the wrong places. Because while the progress machine insists that your moments are best spent acquiring for yourself wealth, acquiring for yourself resources, acquiring for yourself safety and security and prosperity, the new voice, the Savior's voice, gives us a different perspective. He says that our moments are best spent not focusing on prosperity, but focusing on humanity. But that's a high-risk strategy, isn't it? It's a strategy that comes in conflict with everything that the experts say. It goes against all common consensus and even against everything we've ever learned. And so we have a decision to make. Where are we going to spend our time, talents, and treasures? On prosperity or on humanity? And so if we're going to do this, let's do it right. Let's consider what's the return on investment from these two different strategies. Well, if you look at the progress machine's strategy, you'll see that it's a plan that's very low risk, but it's also very low reward. Just imagine if you got what the progress machine promised. Imagine if you had all the free time you could want. Imagine if you knew that you were the best at whatever you were pursuing. And imagine that you had no want for money. Would you be happy? Would you be content? Would you say that your life was fulfilled, or would you want just a little bit more? That right there, that's the frailty of the progress machine's strategy. Your investment doesn't last, because young men grow old. Superstars get weak and fade away. And the rich, what do they have to spend their money on except the things that will eventually decay anyway? In short, if you follow the progress machine, you will live for retirement. And then you'll retire. And then you'll retire from living. And what will you have gained except a few pleasant years, 20, maybe 30 at tops? But if you take the risk and follow the second voice, the different voice, the Savior's voice, you'll find a strategy that is high risk, yes, but also one that yields the highest reward. And this is the strategy. Your Savior Jesus says, "The world knows what it takes to get what it wants. The world is willing to claw its way to the top. The world is willing to stand on shoulders and do anything necessary." And in a way, so do you. The world has taught you well. But instead of using all of your strategies, all of your experience and expertise, chasing for yourself wealth, trying to accumulate stuff for yourself, take what you've learned from the world and apply it to the kingdom of God. Use your time, talents, and treasures as fervently for the Savior's strategy as the world uses theirs for the progress machine's strategy. And if you do, you will live a life here on earth for others, so that you might live a life later with others, a life that lasts forever. And so what do you think? Which strategy will you choose? Will you choose the one that prioritizes prosperity or the one that focuses on humanity? It's a difficult decision to make. I get it. And so what do we as 21st century Americans so often do if we don't know what decision to make? We look at the reviews. We see what other people have done. And so let's look and see not what anyone in particular has done, but let's see what our Savior did. What did Jesus' moments include? As for time, he's eternal. As for talent, he has all the power in the world. And as for treasure, everything's his. And so what could someone like that possibly want? What could an individual that has everything, all the time, all the talents, all the treasure, possibly invest his moments in? You. Jesus invested in you. When he became man and came down to earth as a little itty-bitty baby who was crawling and crying and walking and perhaps smiling, he gave you his time. And as he lived that perfect life without sin in our place, he gave us his talents. And as he shed his holy, precious blood on the cross for the forgiveness of every man, woman, and child that's ever lived or will ever live, he gave us a treasure beyond compare. Jesus invested in us so that we might be his. And for some reason, for some unknowable, unbelievable reason, the God of all looked at us sinful human beings and said, "Yeah, they're worth the investment. I want them to be with me, whatever it takes." That's us. That's us, men, women, and children that God loves to invest in, that he loves to spend his time, talents, and treasures on. And so when we consider where we use our time and spend our time, let's first remember who it is that gave us our time. And when we consider where we're going to use and how to use our talents, let's remember who it is that gave us our talents. And when we consider where we're going to spend our resources, let's first remember who it is that gave us our resources, gave us everything, everything that is near to us, but even everyone who is near and dear to us. This is God's investment strategy, that he is willing to invest in you. And so now we get to invest in him and each other. And so let's take those moments that God has given us and use earthly shrewdness to acquire for ourselves heavenly investments. And where we so often use our time, talents, and treasures to earn more, to get more, to be more, let's instead follow our Savior's strategy and be willing to sacrifice that time, sacrifice our talents, sacrifice our treasures for the things that last. And along the way, you might lose some time. It might fly by. You might get tired from all those talents that you're using, and despite the protests of the progress machine, that number in your bank account and your wallets and your piggy bank might go down. And even then, Jesus promises that it's service to God and to neighbor rather than to money and ourselves that will lead to true treasures, heavenly treasures, treasures in the form of people, of friends with whom you will share eternity. And that sharing starts right here, right now. Just consider that out of all the times and to live in human history, God chose you to live in this moment. And out of all the talents that anyone's ever had, God gave you your talents. And out of all the different economic statuses that people have experienced throughout history, he chose you to be in yours at this moment. But it even goes beyond time, talents, and treasures, doesn't it? Out of all the different religions in the world, God chose you to be a Christian. And out of all the different churches that have ever existed, God chose you to be at Faith in these pews at this moment. And out of all the different Christians who have ever lived, God chose the ones who are sitting around you this morning to be the ones who have joined you at this moment on your march home to eternal glory. This church, the people inside this church, this is your most immediate heavenly investment. This is where God continues to invest in you. He invests in you with his word. He invests in you with the sacrament that we'll enjoy in just a few moments. And this is where God has placed you so that you might invest in him and each other. Just imagine what this church could be if we all invested our time in its mission. Imagine what this church could be if we all used our talents and we bolstered its roster. Imagine what this church could be if we took our resources and invested them in the work of this church and the church throughout the world. An investment that Jesus promises has a 100% return rate. For should you follow Jesus' model, you can watch and be amazed as people are served, as the gospel is proclaimed, as more friends are placed into your heavenly retirement account, an account that you can actually take with you. And so invest in humanity, dear friends, just as God invested in you. Prioritize the salvation of souls just as God prioritized your salvation. And apply your time, talents, and treasures to the work of the church where God has put you, just as God used his time, talents, and treasures to bring you into his universal church, into his family, to make you a son and daughter of the King. And as you do that, As you apply those time, talents, and treasures, be shrewd. Use them with as much fervor as the world does to gain their own riches, their own glory, but instead use those things for God's glory and God's kingdom, so that when the balance is settled and the earth fades away and all of those things that everyone values just decays, then you may still enjoy your heavenly retirement with an everlasting return on investment. Amen.